You're here in Mark chapter 2, get right into it. As you know, I'm going to establish a sign for resolutions, and solutions. Solutions, okay? Solutions and resolutions. I was looking at this thought, and as I approach a new year, I again look at my life and try to think, what kind of resolutions can I make this year that I've made in the last 5 or 6 years that I'm having to make again this year? How many of you have been guilty of that? Don't act like you're, you know, holier than thou, a Pharisee, right? We all have been there. We all made resolutions. And I decided to look up what the top 5 resolutions, New Year's resolutions are. And number 1 is to exercise more. How many think that's a good idea? All right. Number 2, lose weight. Funny how those two are right next to each other. If you exercise more and lose weight, those two right there. Number 3, I was surprised by this one. Number 3 was get organized. Get organized. Wow, I didn't know we had so many disorganized people on this planet. But anyway, that was number 3. Number 4 was to save money. That's a good one, right? How many think that's a good one, save money? And that's always a good decision to make after Christmas. I have an app that keeps track of my expenditures every month. And I got a notice that said, Randy, your December expenditures were a lot more than November. Is everything okay? Yes, the app doesn't know it was Christmas, right? Hello, it was Christmas. It's okay. We'll survive. But then number 5 was to quit smoking. And so I was thrilled to announce that Brother Bussy has decided to quit this year. Amen. Them West Virginia cigarettes. Amen. So, but resolutions. And I'm just going to be honest right now. I have no problem with resolution or exercise. You can ask my family that. But when it comes to eating and my crazy schedule, I've had to really work on that. And so as I was looking in my own personal life about 3 or 4 weeks ago, I try to think 3 or 4 weeks ahead of time as we approach another milestone, a Christmas and a New Year's. And I was thinking, what resolutions can I make this year? What can I make? And as I was looking at the word, the R-E jumped out to me. And the R-E means many times to do something over. If you're going to review something, what does that mean? I have read a book. I'm going to review it. Means I'm going to read it again or look at it again. If I'm going to repeat something, repeat. I'm going to repeat something. It means if I said, watch this, I'm going to repeat something. Ready? I'm going to repeat something. I just proved the word repeat. I repeated something that was already said, right? So then I thought, that's the problem. I keep on trying to make resolutions. I'm repeating something from the past. When the Holy Spirit said, take the R-E out for a second and look at the word there, solutions. Let me give you an example of that. Resolutions are good. Don't misunderstand me. But solutions are better. Let me prove it to you. If I make a resolution right now, today, that by March or April 1st, I will be slimmer, I can make that decision all I want. I can announce it tonight if I want to. But you all will sit there and skeptical, because that's the way people are, and you'll have to see if my resolution has a completion, if there's any closure there, right? You'll have to look at me in March 1st or April 1st and say, yeah, preacher, finally this year was the resolution that made you. Good job, right? But instead, if I say there's a solution, there's going to be a more immediate reaction to it. You see, when Jesus Christ came, he did not resolve to do everything. He just said, I'm going to do it now. He didn't say, I'm going to, I'm planning to, and then you have to watch and see. No. He was a solution giver right there. I mean, the Bible says right there, immediately, as soon as Jesus said these things, immediately he got up and was able to walk. Hey, when you got saved, I'm glad he didn't say, I resolve to save you. As soon as I asked Jesus to save me, guess what? He saved my soul. And so today I want to challenge you. I'm not saying tonight that resolutions are bad. I support them. I make them. I've made resolutions. I made resolutions again this year. There's nothing wrong with resolutions. But I do think solutions are a better way. Why? Well, the word resolution is simply defined as being resolved, determining upon an action. Solution is defined as the act of solving a problem. So by definition, resolution has still the possibility of, or it's going to have to take a little faith. We're not sure if this is actually going to be carried out to completion. And many people have done that, right? You watch. If you live by the YMCA, drive by the YMCA for the month of January. Packed, cars everywhere. You can see people in the windows working out. Then go by in February. And they go by in March, and there's three cars in the parking lot, three cars. All right, and that's the manager and the trainer. No. I mean, that's the way it is. Things just happen like that, right? And we decide this month, January, man, I'm going to save a lot of money. And you get excited on January 31st because, wow, we did save a lot of money. But see, you compared it to December, and yeah, we all save money in January. But then all of a sudden, February comes, spring comes, and we get out of track. I'm not saying resolutions again are good. I'm not saying that we should not make them. I've made them. I'm continuing to make them. But see, Jesus Christ came to this world and this earth with a solution. He was the solution. So tonight, I want to give you three quick thoughts tonight, and I'll be done. Number one, and by the way, this is a part of continuity. We were discussing in Deaf Church today, church, you like this, hearing church. There's probably three or four signs it takes to define the word continuity. Continuity. Let's see. What else did we say? Continuity. We came up with four different signs to demonstrate that word in sign language. What a beautiful thought. But Brother Gary's here, an expert master plumber. It doesn't matter how well all the pipes in this building work. If one pipe is out, it can mess everything up, right? If one pipe is broken, if one pipe is the problem, then the continuity of the church's plumbing system is out of whack. And I think many times in churches today, I'm going to be careful how I say this, because we do have to address problems and address issues. I get that. But as Christians today, our first thought should not be, here is the problem, what are you going to do about it? Maybe we should have, oh, there is a problem, what can I do to help with that problem? Let me tell you how politicians are, right? Politicians are the best in the world at making the other party look bad. That's all they do now. That's all they do. Democrats, Republicans, all they do is just fire shots all the time at the other side. And they do the same thing the other. And remember when Biden told us when he became president, COVID would be gone? That's what he said. I heard him say it. I heard him say it several times. He said if anybody dies under the presidency of COVID, he should not be president. That's what he said. I'm not being mean. I'm just telling you what he said. Well, guess what? People are still dying from that disease, and he's still president, right? See, that's how they are. When they're not in office, when they're not in power, they will fire their barbs, and then as soon as they get power, they'll turn around and say, well, it was the previous party's fault. And the Republicans do the same thing. They're so good at pointing out the problems that the other party's causing without even giving the American people solutions today. Can we get a governor or a president or mayor or representatives and senators that will say, hey, here is a solution. And by the way, the best thing we can do as America today is go back to God. Yeah, it's a free country. I get it. You can worship whatever God you want. But as a whole, we better get back to the God who gave us this country and has blessed us so much so. He is the solution today. So number one, I submit to you solutions over resolutions. We have Mark chapter 2, verses 3 and 4 real quickly. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. Some say this was the first bus ministry in the Bible. And when they could not come nigh to him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let him down to the bed where the sick of the palsy lay. Now, I don't know much about roofing, but I'll tell you this. If I'm sitting in my house in line, Jesus is teaching, and someone starts breaking on my roof, I'm not going to be a happy man. This is what the Bible says they did. When they got to the door carrying this man, they were told, there's no room in here, you can't come through. So they don't have the problem of carrying this man who's sick of the palsy. Now they have a problem of getting him to Jesus Christ. But these four men did not give up. They did not say, I'm making tonight a resolution to get him to Jesus next week, or watch this now, 2 weeks from now, or next month, or I'll try to get Jesus' secretary and see if I can set up an appointment. We're making a resolution that next month, next week. They didn't do that. They immediately carried this man up on top of the roof of the house, and they cut a hole in the roof and lowered an adult man down into the middle of the house. There was no resolution there. There was a solution. These four men said, we love this man. We care about this man. He has a problem. There's problems there. There's problems here. There are problems everywhere. But I know this. There's a solution right inside there. He's sitting down in the middle of everybody. He is the answer. We've heard about him. He's an amazing man. He could be the Messiah. And we're starting to believe it. He's got evidence of that. There's an energy. There's excitement. Hey, that is Jesus Christ. Hey, let's get him to him. And if we get him to him, there will be a problem solved. Hallelujah. They said, no. Solutions right now. Number one, solutions over resolutions. Solutions have evidence of follow through. If I tell you there's a problem tonight, 2 + 2 = if you don't give me the answer of 4, it is still an unsolved problem. But once you say 4, there has been completion. There has been follow through. And can I say one of the reasons America is a great country is because we have had many people throughout the history of this country that were follow through people. They saw problems and they decided that they were going to be the solution to those problems. They found a way to help other brothers and sisters. They found a way to help the fellow man. And today in society, we still have this problem where we think we're better than somebody else, or we think that they are always the problem. Today, I challenge myself and all of us to look in the mirror and ask yourself this hard question and then answer it with an even harder answer. Am I a part of the problem, or am I a part of the solution? Number two, persecution will happen in the midst of solutions. It will just happen. Look at Mark chapter 2 again. So Jesus says these words, and immediately the scribes are offended. They're saying, oh, blasphemy. Jesus is speaking blasphemy. This is horrible. They begin to really attack Jesus Christ. And boy, Jesus had an advantage many of us have. He read their minds and he knew exactly what they were thinking. But let's be honest, many times as Christians today, I have sensed it as a preacher many times, I've been around preachers. I've been in rooms with preachers sometimes where I feel like, these dudes don't like me. It happens everywhere. Listen, persecutors are always going to be out there. Critics are always going to be out there. Monday morning quarterbacks are going to always be out there. I mean, all of us that love any kind of sport sit there sometimes and think to ourselves, if I was the coach, I would have called this play, not that play, right? There's a reason they're paying them millions of dollars and I'm sitting on the couch watching the football game. As I've said so lovingly through the years, when people come and bring their complaints about what a horrible pastor I am, I say, with love in my eyes, I say, hey, just go across the street, start a church, and tell me how it works out for you. God bless you. I mean, literally, go. No, I don't say that. But the fact of the matter is we're really good at that. And the scribes were upset here, and they're going to criticize. But the bus is going to criticize Jesus. He's got a pretty good track record so far. He's proved himself as a miracle worker, right? And the Bible said he has to have because these men heard about him. And the Bible says in verse 7, why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? Critics will always be there. I can tell you funny stories, right? If, you ready? Here's some quotes for you. If you don't like criticism, don't do anything. It's that simple. If you don't like criticism, don't do anything. Critics don't end up as statues someday. I like that one. If you have not any critics, you most likely have no successes. Be an encourager this year. The world already has enough critics. They're everywhere. They sit in fancy suits and dresses on Fox News and CNN and MSNBC every night, and they criticize and criticize and criticize. And even sports radio guys every day criticize and criticize and criticize. And they always criticize somebody else. I would have done it this way. I would have done it better. And until we walk in the shoes of somebody else, sometimes the best thing we can do is just shut our mouth. So I am announcing one of my big resolutions I made for this year right now in this church service. And here it is. I am going to steer away as much as my family already knows it, as much as possible from criticism and gossip. And that includes preachers. That includes my own family members. That includes everybody. I'm tired of negativity. I understand as I'm in the ministry, as a pastor, I have to face it sometimes. But if you're going to start criticizing somebody, don't be offended this year if I just walk away. Or if I just look at you and smile and say, I love you, and walk away. I'm tired of it. I see problems every day of our lives. And we sit around as Christians today, we complain about America, and we complain about our president, and we complain about our churches, and we complain about our church programs, and we complain, and we complain, and we complain, and complain. And we scold our children for behaving like that in the restaurants. Eat that. I don't like it. Eat that. You don't complain, you're thankful. That's broccoli. Someone in this world right now is starving because you're not eating that. Eat that right now, right? But then we sit around as adults and teenagers and complain and complain and complain. Listen, church, God has been so good to us. It's time for us to make the decision to be a part of the solution and not a part of the problem. And a critic and a gossip will rarely be a part of the solution. James chapter 3 says it is impossible for blessing and cursing to come out of the same spout. James chapter 3 talks about how the tongue no man can tame. God says it's easier to control a massive cruise ship than it is to control a horse, than it is to control a person's tongue. Because we love to let this thing decide what we think about it and we tell people about it. I'm learning this. Not everybody's impressed my opinion as I think they should be. And many times I express my opinions and realize they must not be that impressed. I thought it was a good opinion. I'm just saying in that church, we need a revival of being a part of the solutions. This world is a mess. People are killing themselves more now than they've ever. They're discouraged about the future. Their marriages are a wreck. The homes have been broken down. The future of America looks bleak. Hey, church, it's time for us to be revived in this continuity concept and get excited about how God has been good to us. And let's be a part of the solution, not a part of the problem. Number three, and I'm done. Solutions and revolutions. Solutions and revolutions. Now watch this with Mark chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, and I'm done. It says, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed, and glorified God, saying, we never saw him in this fashion. The man's laying there. He's laying down, and Jesus comes over, and he's there, and he says, hey, go ahead, you can get up. And they said, he says, your sins are forgiven you. And they start criticizing Jesus. Jesus turns to him and says, hey, go and get up. The guy gets up, picks up his bed, and then he gets a cartwheel. That's in the Bible. And then he walks out. He walks out. A miracle happened. A revolution. Hey, revolution simply means a huge change. Now we talk about the Revolutionary War, or the War for Independence, they call it. Can I just use them as an example? They did not sit around a table and say, let's sign this document that was written by Thomas Jefferson. And I saw the very room where Thomas Jefferson wrote the document in Philadelphia. Let's sign this document in a month, or 2 months, or 3 months, or 1 year from now. Or let's see how we can negotiate. No, no, no. They said, we're going to be part of the solution. We are declaring our independence right now. They put out the pen, they signed their name to it, risking everything they had. And we are the blessed beneficiaries of that decision years ago. Jesus, disciples, were part of solutions. And solutions are revolutions. They literally change people's lives. They change people's outlook. They change the world. Solutions can change things. Problems don't change anything. Problem givers don't change anything. Critics never help anybody. But when we make the decision that tonight, more than a resolution, I will be a part of the solution. I want to help somebody out there that may not even survive 2022, but because God's going to use me to go to them. If I have to carry them, if I have to break through the roof of the church, so to speak, if I have to do whatever it takes to get that person some help, I want to be a part of the solution and not a part of the problem. So tonight I challenge us, church, not to make resolutions, but to be part of solutions. The Bible's got full of them. Tonight, be be a part of the solution, not a part of the problem. Head your eyes are closed. Thank you for listening, so well.
You alone, he's good. Love. Have you ever felt so unworthy of all the blessings so undeserving? You don't understand why God has been so kind. He's bottled every tear you shed, numbered every hair on your head. Hasn't He always proved He will take care of you?
To where you are.